Kevin Williams. Play action and boom! He's buried. It was Antoine Winfield. Intercepted by E.J. Henderson.
And it's Jared Allen.
And it's intercepted by Chad Greenway.
And there he goes. Percy Harvin is gone.
It's Vikings Tonight on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Your weekly connection to Minnesota Vikings football. Vikings Tonight is brought to you by U.S. Bank, Verizon, and Mall of America.
Touchdown Vikings!
Now, here's your host of Vikings Tonight, the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening and welcome to Vikings Tonight on the Vikings Radio Network. WabiVikings.com. Paul Allen, play-by-play voice, to talk about our favorite team, kind of in the National Football League / Minnesota Vikings abyss a little bit right now. The draft is in the rearview mirror. The stadium situation came to fruition. We talked about that last week from the Vikings Entertainment Network. And rookie camp also in the rearview mirror. So chronologically speaking, from a significant standpoint, Michael, what's next?
Well, I think one thing to watch, Paul, is Adrian Peterson's rehab. You know, we got an update from him last week, and SportsCenter is running a cool special where they went down and visited him as he's trying to recover from his injury. And I think that is the A topic for the Vikings here this offseason, beyond a young team trying to develop a young quarterback. Beyond that, Adrian Peterson's recovery from his knee injury, the A topic. Yep. We've gotten a lot of good news recently.
What about organized team activities, the OTAs, yeah, the camps with the veterans? Is that like June 19th, somewhere around there?
Yeah, the first set of OTAs is going to be the end of this month.
Okay.
And then the OTAs extend into the early and middle part of June, and then a mandatory veteran minicamp will wrap it up in the middle part of June.
Yep.
And that mandatory veteran minicamp is really a key time.
Yeah.
Not because there's a ton of installation, although that is a part of it, but because you're mixing veterans and the rookies,
yeah,
for the first time, really. Yep. As you're installing plays, you're trying to develop some chemistry. You got Ponder throwing to all the receivers. And so that's really a key time in the offseason. It's something the Vikings didn't have last year with the lockout.
And that should excite fans. I mean, yeah, you go 3-13, you can hear some people on the team within the organization, or even those who believe it legitimately will be markedly better next year and should have been better last year, saying, yeah, but if we had closed at San Diego, hadn't blown the leads against Detroit and Tampa, it all could have been different.
Yeah.
That's true. Maybe it would have been different, but it wasn't. It was 3-13. What should excite fans this offseason up to training camp about the prospects of the Vikings having a true offseason walk-up to a regular season?
Well, I think what's exciting about that is there were a lot of new members of the coaching staff last year, too, that didn't get the opportunity of having an offseason to work with the players. So yep, not only did it impact the young players, but it impacted the coaches who weren't able to work with the players and kind, yep, of get their feet on the ground. So that's an important part of the equation, too. Now, you're getting a lot younger. When we get down to the 53-man roster after training camp, Paul,
yep,
I think it'd be an interesting study to look at the average age of our roster and compare it to what it's been the last 2 years, because mm-hmm, I think it's going to be a stark contrast.
I think when Green Bay won the Super Bowl, Wabi, it might have been the first or second youngest team,
yes,
in the NFL.
And that's the way it's going, and that's the way the Vikings are going as well. So I like that. I think there's something to be excited about getting new blood in here. Some of the moves you might not have liked, some of the moves you might not have agreed with, some of them you might have. But any way you shake it, the team is getting younger, there's new blood here, and you need to do that after you go 6-10 and then 3-13. So I'm excited about that.
Yep.
And then the 12th overall pick, last year's draft, Ponder, his development. I mean, you and I have talked about the theme of 2012 being all about Christian Ponder. And the Vikings have done a good job of doing that. They draft Matt Khalil, left tackle. They take the two wide receivers from Arkansas. They get Jerome Simpson. They,
yep,
get John Carlson. We have Kyle Rudolph developing. So all about 2012 being all about Ponder. We've seen that come to fruition, and I'm excited about that as well.
And you mentioned the getting younger theme. And in our conversations, either on the flagship FM 100.3, The Fan, the 9 to noon show, KFAN.com for more information, your work at Vikings.com, or our work now on Vikes Tonight,
mm-hmm,
on the Vikings Radio Network, we have developed themes. We have been very thematic this offseason. It started with you right after the season. I championed it on the flagship. 2012 is about Christian Ponder.
Yes.
We saw that approach in the offseason with cuts, with deletions, additions, the draft, the philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of the theme was getting younger. And there, you know, when you make a run in 2009 like this team made, And you were supposed to make the same run in 2010, but you had the situation with the veteran quarterback early in the year, kind of threw you off. Coach gets fired, Moss here, Moss gone, dome roof collapses.
Yes.
Monday night game against the Giants in Detroit.
Philadelphia
on a Tuesday. So yeah. You had so many things that took place. They win six games. It's amazing they won six games that year. But after that, and the Pittsburgh Steelers may be facing a little of this right now, where you make this elongated run or this short-term window in our case, mm-hmm. and then there's a pay-the-piper time.
Yes.
Where certain players have to leave, certain veterans have to leave, certain guys who make a lot of money are still okay, but they are not requisite of their bottom line, and they won't renegotiate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying the kicker Ryan Longwell fit into any of those categories, but I'm also not saying he doesn't. And Ryan, nearing the end of his career, since we last chatted, he was released by the Vikings, and rookie Blair Walsh from Georgia, he gets the money.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch him. You know, Ryan, we really struggled in touchbacks last year. We only had 19.
Yep.
The leaders in the NFL were the Saints. They had 68. There were 12 teams with 40 or more.
Good Lord.
I think that's an area that the Vikings really wanted to improve on.
Yep.
With Blair Walsh, you do that because he had 52 touchbacks in college. Now,
yeah.
A lot of people look at Blair Walsh's senior season and they see a low field goal percentage. Look at the sophomore and junior season where he was 40 of 45. That's very good.
Yep.
Last year, he led the nation in field goal attempts. Not that surprising to see his percentage go down. Also, Ryan Longwell, as great as a kicker as he is and as accurate as he's been in his career,
yeah.
was 57% in college. So I'm excited about the prospects of grooming a young kicker. And that, I think it fits the theme of the entire roster. Getting younger.
But you know what's interesting? And sometimes people will be negative just to be negative. They'll try to find something like, oh, I can hammer on that. Oh, these people are too altruistic mm-hmm. when it looks like a four-win team. Where there are people who will email me here at The Fan complaining about a positive approach to the offseason, happiness leading up to Ponder having a full offseason, a true offseason, and a walk-up. Bill Musgrave, too, the offensive coordinator. You mentioned yeah. coaches earlier. That's important, too.
Oh, yeah.
And looking at the 3-13 and you know the fact that there still needs to be spots filled on the team to help us win more games, and they'll be like purple-colored glasses, how can you not see it realistically? But then the same people will complain when Ryan Longwell is cut, mm-hmm. to which my response is, well, you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth, because if you're pissed off Longwell is cut, you must think we're going to be in a lot of close games mm-hmm. and that he will make a difference at the end of those in cold-blooded fashion.
Yeah.
Either that or you just complain to complain. So if the team is going to be in a lot of close games that will come down to Ryan Longwell, who had, you know, I think he finished maybe with 19 game winners or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you eventually have to make a move. They've opted to make the move, but what's the trade? You talked about the trade of pinning teams at the 20 or inside the 20 and making them go 80 yards to get a touchdown against your squad. Clearly the personnel department, like you said, is opting to take what should be 10 to 11 to 12 more touchbacks and play the field position game and not sweat what's going to happen in a tight game with the Georgia kid potentially winning it.
Yeah, and you know how this works. When you improve one facet of your team or your performance, how it can impact a lot of other facets of your team, and there's no question the correlation between field position and your defense's performance.
Yeah.
So we're getting younger on defense as well, and we still have some question marks. Let's not pretend that the Vikings got younger in one offseason and they're solid at every single position. That's not what we're saying, but
yep.
this defense is getting younger. You're going to try out some new players at some pretty important positions. How about Jasper Brinkley at middle linebacker?
Yep.
What are you going to do?
Key spot.
Yes. Opposite Kevin Williams. You've been missing a defensive tackle next to Kevin Williams for two seasons.
Yep.
What are you going to do there? Are you good with Brian Robinson at left defensive end?
I'm okay with him.
Yeah. So all those questions, we need to answer those questions, and the
yeah.
defense needs to still perform well, because the next step in this thing from 3-13 is 6, 7, 8, 9 wins. So.
Yeah.
Long story longer, the Blair Walsh and the touchbacks, that helps your defense perform because it puts less pressure on them. And if they perform better, it gives your offense better field position. And this thing is just a cycle.
Yep.
And it might feel like the Vikings are starting over and they're getting younger, but let's not forget Adrian Peterson, veteran leader, Chad Greenway, veteran leader, Kevin Williams, Antoine Winfield,
mm-hmm.
John Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
it's not like...
I can't call Adrian a veteran leader. I can call him a veteran who leads by example.
Okay.
But you would know more about it than me because you're closer to the team than am I. But is Adrian the guy that's really going to get in there and grab somebody by the chest and say, here's the deal. You do it this way, and if you don't do it this way, know you're doing it incorrectly because I've been around for X amount of years. I don't see him as being that guy. Is he that guy?
He might not be that vocal guy, especially inside the facility during meetings, but I think in the huddle in a key spot, he's going to be one who steps in and says something.
Okay.
But either way, I just don't want to create, I want to advance the notion that we're getting younger and we're getting new blood in here, but it's not like we're going to have 53 new players. I mean, there were still some good parts to this team last season,
and that's,
and they're around.
And see, but that's why when you say, and you know, we mixed it up a little bit earlier on my radio show earlier, and I was playing the clown role for a minute, but I genuinely believe in my heart, from 3-13, where's the document or the plan that says it has to be 6, 7, or 8 wins?
Right.
I mean, when you were in as many games as you were in, you the quarterback situation here last year was a freaking joke. With all due respect, Donovan McNabb never should have been here. Ponder comes in, he's fine, but then he gets hurt. He couldn't stay in the game, which is a legitimate issue, and you got to play that out next year. You put John Carlson, a second-year Kyle Rudolph, Jerome Simpson in the 4-3 speed, the Arkansas kids, Greg Childs coming up here pretty soon, we believe, along with some other movement around the offensive line. Why can't this be dramatically better next year?
Well, I think it can be dramatically better. I will leave room for that as a possibility.
But dramatically better is 10 wins or more.
I'll leave room for that possibility. And you brought this up earlier today, Paul, the San Francisco 49ers. They hosted the NFC Championship game last year. I believe they were 13-3. The year prior, they were 6-10. That's just one example of how quickly things can turn around. Every year, half the teams that make the playoffs, they don't make the playoffs the following year. So this thing can turn around quickly. I'm only saying the natural progression, the most likely progression here is around a 500 record. And if that happens, I think that's a positive sign, a good indication of what's going on in the front office with player acquisition.
And in closing here, Greg Childs, rookie receiver from Arkansas, will join us shortly. Very happy to meet him on the radio. In closing, Greg Childs, Jarius Wright, Josh Robinson, Matt Khalil, Harrison Smith, Ponder with a full offseason, John Carlson staying healthy. That there are a lot of ifs, you know, but you put those guys who have done some things at a very high level, and then you add that to Percy Harvin, who had absolutely his most complete season as a pro last year. Mm-hmm. Jared Allen is sacking immortality. Greenway's a 150 tackle guy. Sullivan has developed into top five center in the NFL. Now you move the left tackle to left guard. Everybody believes he's going to be better there, all the insiders.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, Antoine Winfield was having a terrific season before he got hurt. Chris Cook, still a wild card, you know, the off-the-field things in the rearview mirror. But with where they took him, the general manager needs to be right with a lot of these opinions. And if he hits on more than he missed immediately, including with our upcoming guest, Greg Childs, I'm not going to sit here and say that the next step has to be 6 or 7 wins. I refuse to look at it that way.
And I think you're looking at it the right way. You leave room for the possibility that it is a great season. It's a 9, 10, 11 win season where you're making the playoffs, because that can happen. And if Christian Ponder is going to be the great quarterback that you and I believe he will be, it won't be surprising if he makes a big enough step where you can win 9, 10 games next year.
Follow Mike's work, including the Wobcasts at Vikings.com. He's Mike Wobshaw. I'm Paul Allen. Greg Childs, rookie receiver from Arkansas, joins us when we return to Vikings Tonight, all across the Minnesota Vikings radio network. It's Vikings Tonight on the Vikings Radio Network. Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com, and I'm Paul Allen, joined by Greg Childs, rookie receiver from Arkansas, drafted after a former teammate at Arkansas, Jarius Wright, and Mr. Childs joins Vikings Tonight now. Greg, Paul Allen, and Mike Wobshaw, how you doing?
I'm doing very well.
For those who didn't see you at Arkansas before you injured yourself, What type of player are you? Are you a stretch the field type? Are you an over the middle guy? A red zone type guy? What kind of wide receiver are you, Greg?
I'm a very versatile wide receiver. You know, I mostly stretch the field. You know, I'm a red zone threat. You know, I'm not afraid to go over the middle and catch the football.
Hey, Greg, a lot of people, when they make comparisons or they create expectations for players, a lot of times because they're not familiar with a player, they'll look at size and weight and frame and what a player looks like the eye test. They look at you, we're missing a vertical threat, outside threat, and we think of Sidney Rice. And I don't know if you're familiar with what Sidney Rice brought to the Vikings. It was an outside vertical threat who can go up and catch the ball and make plays over defensive backs. Is that the type of role that you foresee for yourself in this offense?
I see myself as making plays, you know. That's basically what I do, you know. I'm a playmaker, so, you know, whatever the situation is, I'm going to do my best to come out on top.
You did you come back too soon from the torn patellar tendon that slowed your career at Arkansas, Greg?
Yes, I came back within 7 months, and it's a year and a half recovery time for that, so I came back entirely too soon.
What was the problem? Why'd you come back so soon?
I think I was just trying to get back on the field, you know, trying to help my teammates out, you know, didn't want to just, like, sit back and let them down.
What are some of the problems you had when you came back where you're like, well, I'm just not the same guy right now? It had to be frustrating.
Oh, yeah, of course, you know, but it tells you a lot about yourself, you know. It lets you know what type of person you are because you got to deal with these different issues that arise, you know, before you get hurt. You know, you're talked about as one of the top receivers in the class, and, you know, you're hurt, so you're not really getting that same type of recognition.
6'3", 219, Greg Childs taking near the bottom of the fourth round, new receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. This is Vikings Tonight. Mike Wabshaw, Paul Allen. Wabby?
Yeah, Greg, when you were injured, you were playing for the University of Arkansas, as we know, a team that plays in the Southeastern Conference, the SEC, one of the top conferences, or the top conference in college football. Greg, that level of competition, you went up against and played with a lot of current players in the NFL. Do you feel that level of competition has prepared you well to play as a rookie in the NFL?
Oh, yeah, of course, you know, because coming from my conference, you know, we play against the best cornerbacks, you know, the best defense, the best safeties and things like that, you know. So, you know, I had great success against all these guys that went very high in the draft this year or last year, you know, and I got fam on them, you know. So it really prepares me for this level right here, you know, saying that, you know, I got what it takes.
Were you offended where you were drafted in the draft, or did you understand why you went in the middle?
Kind of both, you know. I mean, I understood it, you know, coming back off my injury or whatnot, you know, people trying to see exactly where I'm at, you know, as far as being at 100% and things like that. You know, I definitely have a chip on my shoulder. You know, I'm ready to come back and make plays, you know, and show everybody I'm still the, one of the top receivers, you know, and that I will be a steal of this draft, you know. So I'm going to come back. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to play hard. You know, I'm just going to do everything I can to help this team win.
What has to go into that? You had rookie camp. We have the organized team activities coming up, Greg, then training camp, preseason. For a guy like you, do you have to be concerned about your injury and going hard, or are you ready to go full throttle right now?
Oh, I'm not concerned about the knee problem at all. I'm 100% ready to go, you know, full throttle right now. There's no slowing down. You know, it's just getting on the field, going hard, you know, stay in your playbook, you know, and just make sure you know everything about your position that you need to know.
Greg Childs, Vikings Tonight.
Greg, there's another player in our team, though, who wants to be the steal of the draft. You know him very well. It's wide receiver Jarius Wright, who we also selected in the fourth round. Now, there's a very interesting and cool backstory with you and Jarius. You grew up together. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I moved to Warren in the third grade. Jarius was already there. You know, I was a new kid in town, you know, didn't really nobody know who I was, so didn't everybody really like me, you know. So, you know, he had his little group of friends, you know, they used to always try to chase me around the playground, but they could never catch me. You know, and me and him started getting cool once we, like, got in sports, you know, especially when we used to play. And we picked teams while I'm playing football. You know, I used to always just run deep and just go up and catch the ball. And it was like, oh, okay. You know, we need to be friends with him.
Yeah. Well, Percy Harvin has a spot. Jerome Simpson probably has a spot after three games. Does this mean you and your longtime friend Jarius Wright are going to have to battle for playing time?
Me and Jay play two different positions right now. You know, he's playing the Z in the slot, and I'm playing the X.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference for those who don't follow it closely?
The Z receiver is more like a slot, you know, quick, you know, kind of shifty type receiver, and the X receiver is the more of the big body receiver.
Hey, Greg, how's life in the NFL? I know it's early for you, but you're starting to get your feet on the ground. You're going through workouts right now. You're at Winter Park. You've been out and about? You've been recognized yet? Or what's it like in the NFL so
and
far?
Have you been to Mall of America yet?
It's very different. You know, it's a different step from college, of course. You know, as far as the biggest thing is probably you ain't got to go to class. You know, so you can really focus on your job and what you're doing. You know, you ain't got to worry about class checkers or none of that type of stuff. You know, me and Jay Wright went to the Mall of America a couple weeks ago. You know, we was like, you know, this is crazy. They got Six Flags in the mall.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you guys go to Nickelodeon Universe and ride some of those kid rides since you're rookies?
No, we didn't ride no rides yet, but I'm sure they coming, though, because, you know, we're just kind of like big kids. You know, we going to ride rides and stuff. You know, we're going to have a good time.
Greg, tell us about some of our fellow rookies. For instance, when you were at rookie camp, Josh Robinson, the cornerback from Central Florida, what do you think? What can make him good?
Oh, you know, I think he's a good player. You know, he's very well coached, you know. But the thing that's going to make any rookie good is just the preparation and just studying your playbook, you know, watching film, just taking coaching.
So that's important to you, because that obviously is the key for a lot of people in the NFL, especially when they're young, Greg, where, you know, you get in there, you get a little cash behind you, maybe you make a couple of nice catches in the Jacksonville or Indianapolis game, then you're like, you know what, I got this thing figured out, I think I'm going to hang out at the mall just to see what's going on. But the great ones put in the extra work. Are you like that?
Yeah, of course. You know, I'm all about hard work. You know, this is opportunity. You know, it could be taken away at any moment. So why not give it your all, you know, and put your all into it and make sure that you're the best at your position. You know, like you want to keep striving for that. You want to study film. You want to break down the defense. You want to do all those things just to give yourself a little edge.
A pleasure meeting you. Enjoy Minnesota Vikings football. Thanks for the time.
All right, no problem. Thank you.
Greg Childs, rookie receiver, fourth-round selection from Arkansas, a bit offended that he was taken where he was, understands it, but he said, I will be the steal of the draft. I think that was the A-talker to come out of it. Not I hope to be, I will be. 15 seconds, you get it all. Will he be the steal of the draft?
He will. He could be for our team if he fulfills the expectations. I mean, you watch and look at his stats in college and watch, especially in 2010 when they played against Auburn. I mean, he was almost unstoppable. If he can regain that form, he will be the steal of the draft.
Auburn, the Cam Newton-led Auburn team, Greg Childs, 9 catches, 164 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Great work, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mike Wapshaw, Vikings.com, and I'm Paul Allen. We thank the assistants with the radio show, the producers, Joe and Jay Nelson. Chad Abbott is the executive producer of Minnesota Vikings football, and we thank you most of all for taking in Vikings Tonight, all across the Minnesota Vikings radio network.
Vikings Tonight at Purple On Demand on KFAN.com.